Well, we're still learning the with technology and everything, but we're not the only church that has this problem. My daughter's church has three different campuses, and they've been trying to do stuff live, and it's like, how did it go? Oh, we had problems with the technology and everything. So we're just letting you know that our enemy is trying to stop the word however he can, but yet we're still determined to get the word out. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Psalm 119. We have been talking about God's word and how important God's word is in our lives. For example, if you want to experience all that God has for you, if you want to see prayers answered, if you want to see God move in just powerful and miraculous ways in your life and in the life of the church, if you want to hear from God, if you want to see God's hand at work in the current events in our society and everything, then you have got to spend time in God's word. You know, sermons just once a week is gonna leave you spiritually malnourished. If you eat once a week, that's all you ever eat, you're going to be physically worn out, you're going to be tired, you're not going to get the nutrients that you have. You have got to feed on God's word every day. Sure, we come together as a church, whether it's at our homes or in a building somewhere or in a small group somewhere, and we get together, and that community is so important, but so is being fed spiritually every single day. Sermons once a week just aren't enough. If you're spiritually malnourished, what happens is we become weak Christians or weak Christ followers. And if you are a weak Christ follower, what happens is we're vulnerable to, false teachings. I think that's why so many people, they hear something that sounds good, and they say, well, you know what, I want to follow that. And you just kind of go from this way to that way, and you just go with the wind, and you blow, and you blow, and you blow. The problem is you're vulnerable. You leave yourself open. You get caught up in the trendiness of you know, some new way to think because it makes you feel good or it sounds good to you. But once you get into God's word and you develop a hunger to get into his word every single day, every single moment, and you just feast on that, then you're not caught up in a lot of the things that are happening in our culture and in our world today. You have a sure foundation. We want to be firmly planted in the word. The Bible says it like this, that we would be like a tree by the streams of living waters that bears fruit in season. The leaves don't wither in the drought. It doesn't blow over with all kinds of trends and false teachings. It's there in the thick and the thin when the sun is shining and when the rain is pouring. And here in Georgia, we see all of that. When the rains come, when the sun comes, when the pollen comes, we are still strong. That's the church we want to be. That's the people that we want to be. Verse 18 in Psalm 119 says this, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things of your law." And we talked about how in the first eight verses, he talks about law, precepts, commandments, all his word. All of this is God's word. And he says here, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things of your hand." Scripture teaches us things about God. It's how we learn about God. It's how we learn about his nature and who he is. As we read through Psalm 119, behind every single verse is a passion for God Almighty. There's a longing, a desire to know God. There's a desire to love God. As the psalmist is writing, he's pouring out his heart. This psalmist, as we read all through 176 verses, we see his love for God, and his love is revealed in the Word of God. I think about this. Before we had email and texting and everything, we used to send letters. Well, I remember when I was in college, And first time away from home, and you think like, man, this is going to be great, right? And then you walk into a dorm room about the size of your closet back home, right? And so everything is different. Everything has changed. You're meeting new friends and everything, but there's a connection that you miss. And so what we looked forward to every day was going to our little mailbox and just hoping we would get a letter from home, a letter from some of our friends, just a letter. And, you know, sometimes Margie used to write these beautiful letters when she came to the campus, and it would be so cool for me to go and open up the mailbox, and there'd be like a little letter in there. And her favorite character was the cartoon character Ziggy. I don't know if you know Ziggy. It's like this little potato head looking guy, and it's just all these terrible things always kind of happened to him, but he seemed to kind of smile through all of it. So she would always put like a Ziggy sticker, and I knew who it was. And when I got that letter, it was like, man, this is awesome. Because first off, I got something in my mailbox. Second, it came from somebody that I really loved and someone that I cherished. And so I would go and I would open up the letter and I would read it. I would laugh at the funny parts. There were parts where she would reveal her feelings about a certain issue or feelings about something, and it drew me into that. Could you imagine if you got a letter from someone like that and you just got the letter, you pulled it out of your mailbox, said, what a great letter. What a great letter, but you never opened it, and you just put it on your shelf. And every once in a while, you walk past it and say, you know what? One day, I'm going to get into that letter, and I'm going to read that letter. But it's a great letter. I think some of us, we look at the Bible that way. You know, this is God's love letter to us. In his letter, from Genesis to Revelation, he reveals who he is, his love for us, why he created us, why he is redeeming us, why he is giving, why he sent his son to bring us back into fellowship with him. It is a love letter from God. Can you imagine just saying, oh, what a lovely letter, God, and then putting it on the shelf and just leaving it there? And I'm afraid that's what many of us do. You see, his letter tells us about himself, what he's done for us. Not only we study his letter because of the truths that it contains, but it was written by God himself. Psalm 119, besides giving us a glimpse into how important and how lovely his letter is to us, how his word is, there are some blessings. And that's what I want to talk about today, the blessings that we can find in God's word. There are hundreds of blessings, thousands of blessings. Every time we turn around, you could see how God is moving, how God is intervening, how God is providing, how God is protecting, how God is feeding, how God is doing all of these things in our lives. But we also see that God blesses us. And I want to talk about six of those found in Psalm 119. There are more, but I want to kind of focus on six. And I want us to think about blessings this way. A lot of us, I want blessings, and I want it now. You know that commercial, it's my money, and I want it now. In other words, God, bless me now. And we think of it almost like a lightning strike. In other words, there's going to be this powerful thing that happens that is a miracle, and there's no doubt about it. This came from God. It was miraculous, and we want, you know, we all expect that to happen. But I kind of see God's blessings almost like vitamins. In other words, we dive into his word, we take each day, we take a little bit, and there's this cumulative effect that happens over time. The same is true about our Bible. At times when we dive into his scriptures, we're going to see a passage that may not make a lot of sense in the moment, and we just kind of pass over it. But then something will happen, and we'll think like, wait a minute, I think I read something about that. We'll dive back into that, and that verse all of a sudden comes to life. Instead of just the black and white pages, it comes out in high definition, full color, and it makes sense. And we're saying that's God's blessing in the middle of all of this mess. God is blessing me. So I want to talk about some of those today. The first one is found in verse 9. Let's look at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. God's word gives us victory over sin. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed of his word. How can we make our lives different? How can we find out how we're supposed to live? How can we find out the truth? We get into his word, according to his word. We also find that God is a redeeming God. all the way through history. You can talk about and argue, oh, the God of the Old Testament, he was harsh, he was vengeful, all of these things. No, he was bringing his people into alignment. He was making his people different. They were a royal priesthood, a holy people called out for his purpose. And that's who we are today as Christ followers. So the Bible gives us victory over sin. Is there some sin in your life that you've struggled with for maybe weeks or months or years? I mean, you know you shouldn't be doing it, but you just can't seem to help yourself. Well, if you dive into the Scripture and you are praying every day, you will gain victory over that sin. Ephesians 5 talks about the washing of the water of the Word. As you read the Word of God, it cleanses and purifies us. In His Word, we find out that God gave Jesus Christ to stand in our place, to take all of our sin so that we don't have to be trapped in this any longer. That we could be made new, made righteous, made holy, so that when we stand before God on judgment day, He sees us as pure and holy and His child. And we find that assurance in His Word. Get into His Word. Some of you say, like, well, you know, Paul, I start reading, and 5 minutes later, I can't even remember what I read, or I didn't understand what I read. My mind's kind of like one of those sieves, you know, a colander, the stuff just, you know, it goes in, but it just runs right back out. Well, Scripture says our minds are renewed by His Word. And the Word is like water washing the mind. And if you're in His Word daily, this water is cleansing each time. Also, when your mind is not understanding what you read, your spirit is still being filled. Again, you may read something today, and you say, and then you walk away, and maybe 3 days later, 2 days later, a week later, a month later, something stirs that passage back up in your mind. And you remember what God said and what God has promised. God's Word gives us victory over sin. I think the second thing that this Psalm 119, one of the blessings, is abundant life. Jesus says that He came to give us life and so that we would have life abundantly. This is what it says in verses 92 and 93 of Psalm 119. It says, "Unless your law had been my delight, I would have then perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." In other words, if I wouldn't have been in God's Word, I would have been weighed down by all of the situations, all of the things, all of the problems, all of the people that surround me day in and day out and that continue to beat me down. Some of us go through horrible depression because of what life throws at us. And we turn to doctors and we turn to medicine. And sometimes we need the medicine because there's chemical imbalances and everything. But there are other times that if we would get into the Word of God, then these big problems that make our God so small would shrink, and our God wouldn't be small, our God would be big, and the bigger our God gets, the smaller our problems are. Whether it's anger, bitterness, depression, God's Word will speak life to us. I mean, I try to work out, and I try to eat right. It's kind of difficult to do during this coronavirus time where we're all kind of huddled back down in our homes. I'm not able to work out with Nick. I'm not able to work out in Pilates. And I certainly, and this is kind of being transparent, I certainly haven't been eating right during this time. So we want to eat right. We want to work out. We want to take care of ourselves. And all of these things are good to do. But as your spiritual doctor today, me, what I want to do is recommend to you a dose of Bible reading and a dose of prayer every single day. Get into God's Word. Begin to feed yourself spiritually. Feed your mind. Think of these things. It changes how you view yourself, how your life, things before that would bother you won't bother you so much. Things that you didn't see as a blessing, now you see as a blessing. Charles Spurgeon said this one time, "A Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't." And that's true. So victory over sin, abundant life. The next thing God's word gives us, I think, the blessing is wisdom. Wisdom. In verse 98 through 100, it says this: "You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." You feel like that? The enemies are always around you. Maybe your coworkers, maybe even in your family, people bringing you down. But listen, he says this: "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." I get into your word, I keep your word, so that makes me smarter. Wisdom is what makes us successful in life. Wisdom helps our marriages be successful. Wisdom helps us raise our families. Wisdom causes our businesses to be successful. It says, "You will become wiser than your teachers. You will gain more wisdom than those who have lived their entire lives outside of God's word." Proverbs says it this way: "Wisdom is more valuable than gold or silver." And we should do everything we can to get it. If you want wisdom, study God's word. Are you trying to make a difficult decision? Are you facing that? Study scripture. Are you facing things in your life maybe that are dragging you down or something going on? Study scripture. What does God have to say? Let God's wisdom pour over you. Next thing, stand up to your enemies. We need to be ready in season and out of season to have the reason for the good news that we know. We have to study to show ourselves as prepared to rightly discern the word of God. These scriptures tell us that we have to get into his word. We have to study his word. We have to know it. Old Testament, going back to Deuteronomy, you have to write it on your head, write it on your hearts, write it on your arms, tell it to your families. Every single day, get into his word. It gives you the opportunity to stand up to your enemies, to our enemy. Verses 22 and 23 says this: "Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes." Are there people who oppose you? Are there people that are trying to dissuade you from following what you know to be true? Are there people trying to make you fail or fall? It doesn't matter if they're as powerful as princes. God helps those who are meditating on his word. Our enemy, it says, is like a prowling lion. He is seeking to devour and to kill. But scripture tells us, if you get in there, you have power over Satan. You have power over our enemy. You have power over your enemies. You have power over the strongholds that you think are holding you back. You have power to stand up in front of your enemies. And that power comes from the Holy Spirit, which is in us with the Spirit of Christ. God's word also gives us comfort in times of trouble. Verses 50 and verse 52. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself." You know, there's great comfort in reading God's testimonies. Also the stories. We see the troubles of those who have gone before us and how God delivered them. I love that the Bible doesn't hold back. You see the people that we look to as Bible giants, David, Moses, Abraham. We look at these people and say, like, man, if we could only be like them. Guess what? You are. They were fallen just like us. They sinned just like us. They lived their lives just like us. They had enemies seeking after them just like us. They faced hardships every single day just like us. They weren't any different except they spent their time in God's presence. And that's what we're called to do. We have comfort from life's trouble. We see their faithfulness in trials and in sicknesses and how God healed them or gave them joy to persevere. Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed from his side 3 times, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So we learn from his word that God is with us, even in the midst of our storm and our trials. We have comfort. If you're depressed or you're saddened by life's circumstances, turn to the scripture and be renewed. Get comfort in reading the testimonies of Scripture. And I think one of the last blessings I wanted to share with you today is peace. Peace. Verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. It also says that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He's going to keep us safe. And in that safety, there is peace. When you allow the light of the word to shine onto your path, you no longer stumble around in the dark. Instead, you can experience his peace that passes understanding. In the middle of the storm, when they woke up Jesus on the boat on the sea and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" And he looked at the storm and he said, "Peace, be still," and it was calm. And as the storm was calmed, so were the disciples. We serve a God that controls everything. We serve the creator of everything. We serve a God that not only created everything, but he loves you so much that he sent his son for you so that we could be in relationship with him, so that we could have new life. And that gives us peace. That this isn't all there is. There is something greater and better. And because of that, we experience great peace. So I want to encourage you to get into his word. I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer and in meditating on his promises. Now, some of you are saying, "Paul, my days are already filled up." Well, I think maybe God, in using all things, he's using this time to give you more time than you need. A lot of you are sitting at home going, "I'm bored. What can I do?" Get into his word. "Man, what can I do today?" It's just the same thing. Get into his word. Maybe God is giving us this Sabbath to stop what we're doing, put pause on the life that we were running like this, and to get into his word. If you don't think you have time to fit Bible reading, if you don't have time to fit prayer into each day, if that's true for you, then I want you to sit down and I want you to seriously look at your schedule and dump something that doesn't matter, because this does. I mean, seriously, what else is currently in your schedule that could possibly give you this much joy, this much peace, this much understanding, this much power, this many blessings than getting into his word? Saint Augustine said this, "Such is the depth of the scriptures that if I were attempting to study them and nothing else from boyhood to decrepit old age," and I think that's like Sandra, "with the utmost leisure, the most unwearied zeal and talents greater than I have, I would still daily be making progress in discovering their treasures." Every single day, from the time I was little to the time I was old, I would still make progress in discovering the treasures of what's written there. Billy Graham, we went up to his, had the opportunity to go up to his library and to see, you know, about his life and everything. He said this, "I wish I had studied more and preached less. People have pressured me into speaking when I should have been studying and preparing." And this is Billy Graham, who brought hundreds of thousands of people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And yet he said, "I wish I could have spent more time studying." Dr. Donald Barnhouse, who was the pastor of 10th Street or the 10th Presbyterian Church from like around 1917 through 1966. He said this, "If I knew the Lord was coming in 3 years, I would spend 2 of them studying and 1 preaching." It's studying His Word. It's getting into His Word. It's loving His Word. It's feasting on His Word. Stop feasting on the news. Stop feasting on things of the world. Stop feasting on promises that don't hold up. Feast on His Word. Get into His Word and let His Word just pour over you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to encourage and support our congregation to be the people that You have called them to be. Father, I pray that You would bless each and every one of them as they begin to read Your Word and they would study Your promises. Father, I pray that during this time our minds and our bodies would be protected from the enemy and that this disease that's going through now will quickly pass. Father, I pray for people on the front lines. I pray for the nurses and doctors and emergency people. Father, we pray for those that are in nursing homes and assisted living that feel more like a prison now, that You would move. Father, we pray for families that are having to spend time apart. We pray, Father, that in Your mercy that You would move quickly, that Your Holy Spirit would bring comfort and healing. Father, I pray that our church would be salt and light, that our church would be a city on the hill, and You would give us opportunities to serve those in need. Father, I pray that we would fall so deeply in love with Jesus that we would want to learn and obey and to study His Word every day. So, Father, create in us a hunger to know You. And, Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.